So our harvest service, as we've read in Acts 17, is all about living according to the Maker's instructions. As it says in verse 24 of Acts 17, the God who made the world and everything in it is the God of heaven. Paul goes on to say, he gives life to everyone. And that means one of the lessons that we learn from harvest is that we are completely dependent on God. As we look around, we see that he made the world and he provides for us. We're completely dependent on him, not the other way around. He's not dependent on us. And that's what we should learn every year as we celebrate harvest. Harvest is clear evidence of our Creator, that there is a Creator God who made the whole world, and therefore we owe him everything. That's the big point. Harvest creation shows us that God is in charge and we owe him everything. And therefore, you might have slightly misunderstood. When we read what Paul says here in this passage, it's easy to slightly get the wrong end of the stick, particularly in verse 27, where Paul talks about, as a result of that, we should seek God, we should reach out to him, that he's nearby. When you read that at first, you think what Paul is saying is that God is easy to find because he's close by. And of course, that is true. Jesus also taught that God is not hiding. He wants to be found. We should seek him. But that's not exactly what Paul is saying here. The point that Paul is making is, yes, God is near to us. Yes, God wants to be found. But the incredible thing is, despite all the evidence for God being there in creation, and despite the fact that he is so near, generally speaking, we do not seek out for him. That's the point he's making, that he is near, but we don't seek out for him. And how terrible that is. That we should expect things to go wrong if we live in a world where there is a Creator, the Maker has made it, he's left his instructions, but by and large, we ignore those instructions. And so as we saw, like in the video about that tragic explosion in Beirut, those are the kind of things that go wrong when we don't live according to his instructions. He's made the world, he's given us all the good things like fertilizer to grow food, good things to be enjoyed, but because we don't use these things the way he wants us to, it all goes wrong. Or I'll put it the other way around, the best way to get the most out of life is to live according to the Maker's instructions. Instead of how we should live, we tend to be quite superstitious, like the Greeks that Paul was talking to in Athens. Earlier on, he noticed the fact that there was an altar in the city of Athens, he'd noticed, to an unknown god. And he's speaking here about the Greeks worshipping what is not known. Now, what he's referring to is this. The Greeks were very superstitious. A guy called Diogenes Laertius tells us at a time in the 6th century BC, that is, way, way back, where there was a terrible plague in Athens. Whether it was a coronavirus or not, we don't know, but a terrible plague had hit the city and they tried everything and nothing worked. And finally, this one guy came up with the idea that they would send black and white sheep throughout the city, and wherever a sheep sort of stopped, they would sacrifice it and then sort of build an altar there. And they did that and they thought it was connected, but basically the plague stopped. And ever since that, the people in Athens had these altars to unknown gods, because then it was basically, we want to cover all our bases. This is kind of like a safety precaution. Things go wrong if we're not always having the right altar, saying the right things, doing the things at the right moment. They didn't believe in a personal God who loved them. It was just safety precautions that they were taking. And Paul, in verse 30, says, no, that's not what it's about at all. The reason why, if things are going well in Athens, as he's speaking, the reason why it's going well at the moment is that God is patient with us. He's overlooked that ignorance, that although he's near, by and large, we don't seek after him, and he has, in the past, overlooked that ignorance. But, Paul says, but, and this is the punchline, his patience will not last forever. He has set a time and a date where he will judge the world by the person he's appointed, Jesus Christ. And he has proved that by raising him from the dead. So the application of harvest we've got today is very real, isn't it? First of all, I want to say that this applies to us if we are Christians, all of us, but particularly Christians. What we need to be thinking about today is the fact that we are called to live according to the Maker's instructions. Harvest teaches us that God made the world. We should be thankful for that. We owe him everything. And therefore, his way is the best way to live. Let's trust him that he really wants the best way for us. And as we read the Bible and we see, as he reveals to us how we should live, he's not trying to trick us. That really is the best way. If we're honest now, if you pause to reflect, we often get into trouble personally and as a society when we go our own way and we're surprised that it all goes wrong. No, Paul is saying, live according to the Maker's instructions and trust him that his way is really the best way. But secondly, if you're not yet a Christian, I want to challenge you. What Paul is saying, seek God through the one whom God raised from the dead, Jesus Christ. Actually, if you really are honest about it and think about it, at harvest time we think about that God made the world. There is a creator. And although he's near, and he is near, and he wants to know you, be honest, we don't seek after him, generally speaking. Well, this is your chance to put that right. I urge you to, as Paul would say, turn back to your Maker. Seek forgiveness. The wonderful news of Christianity is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again so that we can be forgiven, so that a way back to God can be found, and that although he's near, we're not groping around in the darkness, as Paul says here. Instead, we can know he's not an unknown God. He's a known God in the person of Jesus. And I want to say today that you can know him right now by believing in Jesus. And in the prayer response time, there'll be an opportunity to do that. So I want to encourage you to trust him. That's what harvest is all about. We see God made the whole world, and so we owe everything to him. But generally speaking, we do not live as if that was true, not in all areas of our lives. But the best way to live, to get the most joy out of life, the most satisfaction, the very best way to live is to live according to the Maker's instructions. And if you don't know your Maker yet, I urge you to do that. As I say, an opportunity in the prayer time to respond in this. And let's do that. Let's seek God while he is near and while he can be found before it's too late. So that's Acts 17. That's our Harvest Day message. And that applies to all of us, whether we're young or old. We can all find God as we trust in Jesus. And I'm now going to hand over to Karen. And she's going to lead our prayer response now. So thanks, Karen.